Okay, so a little bit of a disclaimer for tonight. It's born out of a prayer time, which isn't necessarily the usual route. So it's a kind of a prophetic thing that I'm ministering. And so I'm taking texts from here and texts from there and joining them together because it speaks of how it came to me in my prayer time. And what I have here is two packets of mustard seeds. I've got the yellow variety and these other ones. I don't know whether they produce slightly different looking trees, but within 2 weeks I will know, because by then we'll put up some photographs for you. But why I have these is they're such tiny little seeds. This is, you know, hundreds of them in this packet, and we'll have some photographs so that you can get the contrast of size on the screen in 2 weeks' time. But I mention it because the kingdom seed, Jesus said, mustard seed, he said the kingdom is like a mustard seed. And so it's so small, it grows to be the biggest of all garden plants. Now, Jesus wasn't doff. He had read the rest of the Bible, and he knew that the cedars of Lebanon were big, but that's wild trees out there, not garden trees. They're, you know, that they cultivated within their garden spaces. So it's not as though he didn't know that there were bigger trees than mustard trees. He's talking about those cultivated within their garden. In fact, the way it comes out as he speaks about it, it's clear he's talking to them about the ones they actually cultivate. Well, he says it's the smallest seed, but grows to be the biggest tree in their gardens that they cultivate. Kingdom seed is a powerful thing. Don't undermine the day that the Spirit of God started working in your life and started planting something there. There's a verse in Zechariah which talks about despising. Do not despise the day of small beginnings. Okay, you know it. And the thing about the work of the Lord is there's a patience time period where God works in you while he's preparing you for what you're going to do. And it's like this exponential curve. But this period can be 10, 15 years. You know, when Paul was on the way to Damascus, how long do you think it was from there to when Barnabas went and fetched him to minister in Antioch? Got a guess of 17 here, a guess of 14 there. Okay, how about this? There was a baby put in the bulrushes. How old was he when he came to his senses and identified with the people of God? 40, correct. How old was he after running away from killing an Egyptian and thinking, oh, it's not safe for me here anymore, to when God called him at the burning bush? 80, 40 years from his awakening that he wanted to do something for the people of God to when God actually summoned him and sent him back. 40 years. So I didn't say that to discourage you. Why I said it is that kingdom seed is powerful, and God often uses a long season to work in us, to prepare us, to establish us for what he's calling us to. I would hazard a guess that most of you in this, what is this? Our church facility, the mill facility, have inklings in your heart of the good things God has prepared in advance for you. And you want to head towards them and to accomplish them and to walk in those things prepared in advance for you. And it's amazing that it can take some plenty of years before those things come to pass, eh? Can take some plenty of years. Anyway, I'm out praying the other day, earphones in, listening to some worship music, just seeking the Lord, and I started talking to the Lord about my life and saying, Lord, what can I trim, get rid of? What can I add? What should I be doing to be more effective in the things that you've called me to? And fortunately, I got this response, I feel. God was saying that there isn't that much that you need. You've adjusted, you've done a lot of things. And I started thinking through the various pockets of my life, from being a husband to parenting to finding time to seek the Lord and preparing the Word, staff meetings, elders meetings, counseling people, marriage documents that I have to sometimes fill in, handling the church budget, etc. And then working through all of them. And then realizing, oh, okay, there isn't actually that much space to adjust these things. And then I started to pray, but Lord, then how, where do we go from here? And I felt like the Lord saying, he can multiply anything. There's natural growth, and then there's a super, a kind of a spiritual multiplication which God can do. And I know there's some passages in the Bible which speak about those things, studied this theme, taught about it before. But faith started to rise within me to pray for multiplication. So I'm not saying I've come here tonight to prophesy there's going to be multiplication, but faith started to rise within me to say, oh, we can call out for multiplication. And there are these wonderful passages in Scripture which talk about multiplication and God getting involved in our lives. And so I'm going to read from Mark 6, from verse 30. It says, the apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. Wonderful thing. He had sent them out. They go out to minister. They come back and they give feedback session, all that they had done and taught. Amazing. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. See, Jesus is happy for us to have holidays. He even took them away to get a break. That's nice. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. Okay, well, they seriously needed to get a bit of a break. And they went away in a boat to a desolate place by themselves. That's how you get away. You get in a boat and you go somewhere. You guys, you're quite a dead audience, eh, sometimes. I thought someone might smile or laugh or something. Anyway. Some saw him and they recognized him. And they ran on foot along the shore to get there ahead of him, because boats are slow, of course, particularly in those days. And when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd. Gosh, a whole lot of them ran there. And this is wonderful about Jesus. He said he had compassion on them. He didn't say, okay, boys, let's row the other direction. He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. That's why we should have compassion on the world. This world, you know, in the book of Jonah, where it talks about Nineveh, it says the people didn't know their right hand from their left hand. People are confused out there in this world. They don't know what they're living for. They're just led by the media, led by their own sinful nature, led by the ideologies of the day, and they're just pursuing whatever seems right in any given moment as they move forward. So no wonder there's so much lawlessness, so many rapes happening in our nation, so much crime. I mean, people are just like, no, if I can get away with that, okay, great. Just living like that. And Jesus sees the crowd, sheep without a shepherd. People need the shepherd, Jesus. And he began to teach them many things. So why is teaching so important? Well, sheep that are harassed and helpless without a shepherd, what do they need? Well, Jesus taught them many things. He didn't proclaim, I'm the shepherd. He taught them many things. Teaching is a beautiful and often underrated gifting. Just, it puts stuff into us, which establishes us. When it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. Which is a nice thought. Gosh, these guys must be hungry by now, Lord. Please tell them to go, you know. But he answered them, you give them something to eat. Okay, surprise. Thank you, Jesus. What are you thinking? And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat? Which is obviously a significantly big amount. Look, Lord, we don't even have that kind of money. What are you talking about? And he said to them, how many loaves do you have? You see, what we do is we think the world is harassed and helpless. What can I do about it? What can I do about it? How can I be part of God's rescue plan for the world? I mean, it's like Karachi is going to be a city of 50 million people. Lagos, 50 million people. They say Delhi, Calcutta are going to be 50 million people. And there's a fifth one, I forget which one. Those are all cities which are significantly outside of where God has moved powerfully and planted many churches. Those are, you know, Karachi is pretty much 1%, 2% people who acknowledge Jesus as the Savior. There is much work to be done. And when you start to look at those staggering figures, you can think, oh, okay. Where are we? You think I've got 200 denarii worth to go and buy food for all these people, Lord? But the answer which Jesus gives them, or the question gives them, is what do you have? Now, what we need to do is be those people who say, what actually do we have? What do we have? You've got the ability to communicate. You've got the ability to pray. You've got the ability to earn more money and sow in the kingdom. You've got the ability to sing and write songs for the Lord. You've got the ability to write books, to edit, to, I don't know what it is. Maybe you're going to write movie scores, which will move people in their hearts. Maybe you're going to write movies and direct them for the Lord. Man, I don't know what it is that God's got in your heart and he's placed there. But whatever it is, you need to, let's see what they do. How many loaves do you have? Go and see. Okay, so with regard to going and seeing, some of you need to discover what he's actually put in you. If you want to be of use, you need to say, Lord, what actually have you put in me? What is it that you've given me? My mom said to me when I used to play with my blocks and my little Lego pieces and that I would sometimes line them up like a church and be the one at the front telling the people what the Lord was saying. That's how I used to play sometimes. I used to play little farm animals as well and try and create more camps for the sheep to be in. That's what my mom tells me. I can't remember so much, but apparently I did that. God has put some things inside of you. Maybe you, from a very young age, have been a very caring person. My sister was always caring for her dolls. Oh, no, no, this one's not well. I've got to look after this one. Oh, no, this one needs this treatment. I know that it's not surprising she became a community nurse. That was this, what she always wanted to do. And this one, you became a bit, this one really needs a lot of sleep right now. She always had some little doll that she was nurturing and looking after. And I don't know what it is with you. Maybe. And I'm not saying that everyone had a childhood indication of where they're going. But maybe the Lord's put something in you. Maybe you haven't even discovered something about yourself yet. Some people grow up in homes where parents aren't trying to nurture godly things in them. They try and suppress those things. Try and make you to be strong in ways so that you can overcome things in life and not be who God has actually made you to be. May you be delivered of that if that is the case. May you be set free and discover what it is. So what do you have? How many loaves do you have? Go and see. Find out. Find out. And when they had found out, they said 5 and 2 fish. Now that doesn't seem like a lot, considering the number of people that eventually are fed. It says 5,000 men were fed in verse 44. Never mind any women and children who were there. So how many loaves do you have? Oh, 5 and 2. So you can think, okay, 50 million in Karachi. Ah, we may as well give up now. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. Our solution, as I was praying, Lord, how do we multiply? What do you? We need groups in the life of the church, life groups, prayer groups, women's groups, men groups, age-appropriate groups, youth groups, children's groups. Some will be kind of groups that gather for social reasons, but because they're believers together, they include others and others get saved there. Hiking groups on the mountain, whatever it might be, I don't know. Motorbike groups. You can exclude me from that one, but you go on your breakfast runs wherever you want to go and do that thing. But Jesus told them to be in groups. He didn't just say, okay, just go and distribute this to the crowd. Put them in groups. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and fifties. And I want to add by 20s and 10s for our context. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven. Okay, so you've got some things. Go and see what you've got. Now bring that and put it in the Lord's hands. It's no good just to have that thing. And no, okay, maybe I can be a communicator in writing. Maybe I can be a this. I think I could lead worship. I'll think about that for a few years. You've actually got to take that thing and put it in the Lord's hands and then start to exercise it somewhere. You've got to bring it and put it in the Lord's hands. Then he commanded them to sit in groups and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. So once you've put it in the Lord's hands, then look what he does with it. He looks up to heaven and he blesses. And then he breaks the loaves and he gives it to them. We need God's blessing. And we need him to break and to distribute. How many of you believe that Jesus can multiply? Okay. Those 3 people, we've got a nod at the back there. We've got 4. I'm looking for 5, just 5. Able body. Okay. Awesome. We're going to have amazing work of God. Yeah. That's all we need, just the five of you. Five loaves and two fish. Can I have two fish as well? Okay, I've got one fellow. Excellent. Now we're going somewhere. So put those things in God's hands. Let him bless and break and distribute. Some of you might feel a little hurt because you've tried in the past and then it didn't work out the way you expected. Or that person, you expected you would just be accepted because you thought you had this gift, and then maybe even I have shut someone down here. You know that Charles Haddon Spurgeon probably recognizes one of the greatest preachers ever. They call him the Golden Mouth, and people read his sermons today. You can find them online. They're just like anthologies of books written about his sermons, etc. He applied to go to Regent College London to study theology, and they turned him down. They didn't think he was a suitable candidate. George Campbell Morgan was also turned down for studying theology. Became the preacher at Westminster Chapel. The chapel, they call it. Famous, famous church for preaching. And he's known to be a great preacher there. They turned him down. He's an unsuitable candidate. He won't work. At some point, you've got to get over those disappointments, whatever they were, rejections, and move with what God's called you to do. Put it in God's hands. Let him bless. Let him break. Let him break. Let him distribute. And then he gave it to the disciples to set before the people. He divided the fish among them all, and they all ate and were satisfied. They all ate and were satisfied. God can enable us. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces. That must have stayed in their minds for the rest of their lives, these guys. What do you have? I know we've got 5 loaves and 2 fish. And then at the end of the day, after feeding 4,000 people, now we've got 12 baskets full. So can God multiply? Yes. Have you discovered what he's put in your hands? Have you put what he's put in your hands into his hands? Oh, this is going to demand time. There goes another night of the week. Okay, I'll just finish this series and then we'll go for it. Huh? Whatever it might be. I can't even tell you that the last series I watched from beginning to end was Prison Break, because you all think, what? So many years ago, Thomas. It's true. I don't have time for these things because I do watch rugby. I like to watch rugby. But have you put what he's put in your hands into his hands? And then, are you ready to have him bless it so that you can distribute it? So the season ahead has groups for Church on Main, many groups. Are you part of a group? Are you helping a group go forward? Can God multiply? Yes, he can. Have you discovered what he's given you? Have you put it in his hands? Then he broke it. Now, when you read the commentary on this portion, or a couple of commentaries, as I did this week, I just went and checked what the different views were. All of them said that this phrase here immediately evokes within the listeners or readers, from the writer's point of view to us, this idea of the breaking of bread. It leads us there. It leads us there in our thinking and our minds. It must have been by the intent of the Holy Spirit who inspired Mark to write this. And in the other Gospels too, that this account leads us to that breaking of bread. The greatest blessing we have is looking to Jesus. We're going to break bread together again tonight. And this is the way we're going to do it tonight. Like I've said, it immediately places us in that place where we notice our dependence on him. Our focus is on him, and we're looking to him for all things in our Christian walk. Tonight, as you're praying together in groups, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever, it may be that you want to tell the group, this is something I want to put in his hands so that he can bless it, break it, and distribute it. I've always felt God's going to use me to be a, I don't know what it is, but you know. Maybe you're not at the point where you want to declare that yet. You still have to finish that series and then get there. I'm just teasing her. But it would be good. Or maybe you, and maybe it's obvious and people know, oh, so-and-so is part of the life of the church. They lead worship and whatever. And you just say, hey, guys, I want to go to the next level in that thing. I want the Lord to multiply it. I want the Lord to multiply it. I've always had a dream that I would not only do it here, but in other churches. And God's going to enable that in the future. So if you'd be prepared to be bold enough to share with the people that you're with something, just something, whatever it might be. I've always wanted to be better at prayer. I've wanted to meet with God in prayer. I want that area blessed in my life. Can you pray for that tonight? You could start there. Or to know God's word better, or to be able to witness, to share my faith in a way that just comes out so naturally that the person I'm speaking to thinks, hey, I'd really like to hear a bit more about that. It's not awkward. It's not weird. It's not cringy. It's just me explaining how it is that I've come to faith in the Lord, and it seems so natural. I want to be able to do that. Okay, so whatever it is you want to say. But in our groups, when we go break bread together, we are mentioning these things. Are you with me? Okay, if that's too much of a jump for you, then what you do is you just pretend you're praying while the guys are talking to you. Just like wash over the moment like that, you know, just get around it like that. Sorry to have put you all on the spot. I'm starting to feel bad about it now. Okay, I won't feel bad. All right, so what we're going to do, that's how we're going to end this evening's meeting. We're going to go groups of two, three, pray for each other and talk about the things we're putting in his hands. Let's do it.